Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Two Guys, One Movie Podcast. My name is Matt Gallo, and I'm joined, as always, by the parasitic Justin Dubin.
That is very inappropriate, but sure. Hi, how are you today?
It's also appropriate, right?
Well, it's not appropriate to describe me as a parasite. I feel like I contribute to society.
But in the world of this podcast, you're quite parasitic.
Wow. I'm a co-host. In the Justin, word host, I am also a host. I'm not a parasite that feeds off
How many times have you edited this podcast?
Not once. I tried once, and then I failed, and then that episode never aired.
We've done 304 of these.
And I tried to edit one of them, and it failed.
It takes me on average, I would say, half an hour, conservatively, to edit each episode. So 304 times 30 minutes. We'll do the math later, but
like
I don't know 9, if that...
9,000 hours.
I don't think that's right. I'm not a math major.
I am not a math guy. That was terrible math. Oh my god.
That would be really upsetting.
That was just fast math. That was completely inaccurate.
Is it fast math if it's wrong?
I guess fast math is bad math, but...
Yes, in this case it is. And I'm not saying I'm a math expert either, for sure. So Justin... I called you parasitic mainly because of the movie we're reviewing this week, Parasite.
Yay!
So we're going to get into it, but it's one of the... Would you say it's one of the front runners for the Oscars?
I would say so, yes. It seems that way. It won recently. Which award did it win? Best Picture was the first
The SAG Award, Screen Actors Guild. It won Best Ensemble, which... It's their version of Best Picture.
Right, correct. And it's the first international film to do so, I believe. So it is one of the favorites, I would say, coming out.
Now, we have a Toy Story 3 conundrum here, because Toy Story 3 was nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards and also Best Animated Picture. And shocker, it won Best Animated Picture. And so this film is nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars, but also Best International, right? Best Foreign Film.
Correct. So we already know that that's pretty much a lock.
It has to be.
Is because it fair to nominate it for both?
Wow. Robot Justin, hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
What happened?
Go ahead.
I said, is it fair to have it nominated for both?
I don't, because if any of the other movies in the foreign films category had a shot, then they would be nominated for Best Picture, right?
I guess so.
So I just hate when that happens because it's like, well, obviously.
No, I think it needs to be in both. It needs to be in both because it is a foreign picture. It does fit in that category. And if it doesn't win, it deserves to at least win that category. Well,
yes, but at the same time, it's like,
I don't know.
Those other movies, though, know that because they weren't good enough to get into the Best Picture category, that means they're by default not good enough to beat Parasite, right?
What if that... I mean, you're right. I mean, but I don't know. Who knows? Crazier things have happened.
I mean, crazy things with the Academy have definitely happened, like their proposal for the popular film category.
Yeah, and La La Land losing to Moonlight. But that's
what are you talking about?
La La Land lost to Moonlight.
What? No, it didn't.
La La Land lost to Moonlight.
La La Land was Best Picture, Justin.
No, it wasn't.
There was no fourth Indiana Jones, and La La Land won Best Picture. Okay, so what do you say we get into our review then of Parasite?
Let's do it.
나도 봐. 공짜로 집안에 소독도 하고.
부모님 얼굴도 뵙고 좋더라. 건강들 하시고.
일거리가 없으셔.
네가 내 대신 얘 과외 선생님 좀 해줘라. 영어.
대학생인 척하라는 거야?
구라를 좀 치지 뭐.
And what you just heard was a clip from the trailer for Parasite, starring Cho Yo Jung, Park So Dam, Choi Woo Shik, Kang Ho Song, Lee Soon Gyun, and Jung Ji So. And it's directed by Bong Joon-ho, who we've come across a few times on the podcast, Justin. He directed Snowpiercer. He directed The Host. He directed Okja, which I actually haven't seen that one. I saw the other two, which were like impossible to see. Haven't seen Okja, which was a Netflix.
I haven't seen Okja either. We have seen the other two.
Yes.
And we saw The Host in theaters at a very young age, and we were not fans.
We just didn't get his deal.
I don't think we didn't get it. There was apparently, we were youths, you know?
We were youths and we did not enjoy that film. I would watch it again, I guess. But Justin, what's Parasite about?
This is the plot. All unemployed, Kitaek and his family take peculiar interest in the wealthy and glamorous parks as they ingratiate, that was a big word, I didn't know that word, as they ingratiate themselves into their lives and get entangled in an unexpected incident. Hijinks absolutely ensue.
I think that's putting it generously.
Yes. So, where to start? Without spoiling.
I mean, this movie takes a turn. Let's put it that way. This movie takes a turn. About 45 minutes in, I turned to Caitlin and I said, this movie could absolutely be like remade for America. I could easily see that happening. And then the rest of the film happened and I would probably say no.
So this movie is very special, and it is because somehow it's able to make that turn that you're talking about that we'll get into, because this is a movie that I don't know, how do they classify it in genre here? In they call it comedy, crime, drama. I would say it's a comedy. It's a for most of the beginning, it's a comedy. It's somewhat of a rom-com to some degree.
I would say it's a drama.
There's definitely a drama. And then there's like a horror aspect to it as well.
For sure. Yes.
So it's everything. And it does a good job with all of it. It's very impressive. I've never really seen a movie do that before.
And that's the thing with Bong Joon-ho, is that's what we thought about The Host, right? I remember saying, pick a genre. This movie doesn't pick a genre. It's funny. It's horrifying. It's about a giant monster, you know? And I feel like the same thing came with this. If anything, Snowpiercer seemed to be the most level-headed when it came to picking a genre, right?
It was clearly a sci-fi
thriller.
A thriller. Yeah, I'd say thriller. Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely has some horrifying things that happen in it, but it's just a violent sci-fi thriller, I think. And that movie, all of his movies, though, try to say something, right?
Yes. And this movie says a lot, and it makes you think a lot about, you know, classism and society.
Greed,
and, you know, values. What we each value in our own, you know, lives. And in that way, it's a very successful film. It's very unique. It's very special. I enjoyed this film. I found myself laughing in the beginning. And then once that thing happens, I just started like actually screaming, holy shit, for the second half of this movie for the most part. Because it's crazy. This movie goes places that are crazy and that are unexpected. And it's original and it's fun throughout. Even though when I wasn't laughing, I was still having a fun time watching this movie. And it is one of the better experiences, I'd say, I had this year.
Yeah. And I think all the actors in this movie are fantastic. I think the main actor, Kang Ho Song, I think that's him. Yeah. He has done, I think, a few. He was in The Host. And he was in Snowpiercer as well, apparently. He works with Bong Joon-ho quite a lot.
He was like the guy who was addicted to the shit that he had to get. He was the engineer that was like imprisoned in the thing.
Right. He's the main, I'd say the main character in this film, even though it is definitely an ensemble piece. And I think he's great. I think he's a great actor. The range of emotions this guy goes through in this movie, and he handles the comedy aspects. He handles the insane dramatic parts as well. I think everybody in this movie does a great job.
I really liked the daughter. I thought she was a standout for me. What's her name? Kim Ki-jung, who played Jessica, I think is the name they gave her in the, you know, in the as when she played a role in the household. Mm-hmm. But how they came across this whole plot, the development of it felt very natural. It didn't seem too far fetched. And that's what I liked about this movie. It felt grounded in reality, although there becomes some absurdity. This whole movie is grounded enough in reality that you can see these things happening, I would say.
Yeah, I could see that. Now, did you go into this movie knowing anything about it?
No, I tried to purposely stay as least informed as possible. So I really didn't know anything about it. Did you?
Not really, no. I didn't know anything. I knew that there was classism. There was some stuff about classism in this movie. That was really it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I didn't understand the title. And then as you go through the first 45 minutes of this movie, I was like, this title's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant title for this movie. It was perfect. I guess we can talk about the classism. It's quite strong. The problem is, you know, I don't have an idea. I've been to Korea. I've been to South Korea. This isn't Korean, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I didn't experience that aspect of you know, my trip. I stayed with Brian Seo, who you know. I stayed with his family. They were very accommodating. I saw a lot of Seoul. I went outside of Seoul. Our friend Jeannie still is living in Seoul, which I would love to go visit her. I did not experience this, but I could see, you know, if you look around, you can obviously see classism in anywhere we go, right? Like there's always this, we're always surrounded in any city by abject poverty and insane wealth. And I think that this has some interesting commentary on what people are willing to do, A, to live a certain way, and what they value and what they're willing to sacrifice in order to get to where they want to be. It says a lot about people. And unfortunately, there's probably a lot of people who are willing to do some really bad things in this world to get the kind of success that they want. And it's not that surprising.
Now, this movie is being hailed as one of the best, like even on the poster says one of the best films of the decade, but that's just, let's see what Jackass said, that award circuit. I don't know. So there's always those pull quotes, you know, but one of the best films of the decade. This film was great. But the last act takes such a turn. Do you think it hurts the film?
It's a bizarre ending, right? It's a very bizarre ending.
It almost hurts the film in its attempt to send a message, right?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of a poetic ending to the film. I found the ending satisfying, but pretty dark, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think it hurt it in any way. Because I didn't know what to expect. Why would it hurt this movie? Why would it hurt its message? Because for every action, there's a reaction, and there always needs to be a consequence for actions. And I thought it was almost a pretty poetic result of the right events that transpired. So why does that hurt it?
When I recommend, people say, should I see Parasite? There's like an asterisk with it when I recommend it to someone, especially normal movie-going folk who say, oh, should I see Parasite? I've heard it's nominated for Best Picture. My asterisk is, oh, it's great, but it's really weird. You know? Like, it's not weird like Birdman weird. It's weird in that what happens, some people may not want to see that. Some people may not want or expect something like that to happen in a movie like this.
Well, that's okay. Maybe that's worth seeing then, because there's stuff that you're not expecting. If every movie was by the books, then I wouldn't want to watch a movie for the most part, except for the, you know, Christmas movies, because I love all of them because they're by the books and They're just very happy. And
they're almost literally by the books, like as in there's like a handbook that people have to follow.
Yes, exactly. But no, I don't think that that's a reason to tell people to steer away from this movie. I think that's a reason to have people watch this movie. I had a couple friends who recently I told them to watch it. And then they texted me immediately after. They actually saw it in theaters because they're in New York. And they saw it in theaters and they just lost their minds. They were like, holy shit, I can't believe this movie. Absolutely crazy.
And but is that good?
Response. Yeah.
Is that good?
It's interesting.
It's interesting, yes. It was good. Yes, I agree that it's interesting. But is it good? I don't think this was Best Picture of the Year.
Do I think it was Best Picture of the Year? Probably not. But should it be in the category? Yeah, it was definitely one of the better pictures this year. Is 1917
because I think because
better?
Of how different
Absolutely.
It was.
1917 is better. I mean, it's also not fair, right? Because there's strengths. You know, the script for this movie is better than the 1917 script. No one's going to disagree with that, right? Original screenplay. Original screenplay. This is better.
I mean, sure.
Come on. 1917
sure,
is
fine,
but directing, I would probably say 1917.
I would 100% say that.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so many different levels to assessing best picture, you know, that, you know, which thing stands out the most, because this is an impressive script. It's very difficult to jump genres in and out in one movie and to have a formed solid plot that is cohesive, and he does it, and that's impressive. So if this were to win best original screenplay, I would be down for that. I would be fine with that.
I would too, actually.
I still think Avengers should win everything.
I mean, we're not far apart on that argument, but a lot of people think it's going to be what? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah, probably.
No. I mean, I don't disagree with that either, I guess.
But
what do you say we get into spoilers for this? Because this is the kind of movie that I think needs some discussion.
I agree.
Okay.
All right, but before we do it, see it, don't see it, rent it, and a quick commentary on subtitles for our American listeners who don't like to read.
I think Bong Joon-ho has said it's like you just have to get over that one inch barrier, which is that one inch at the bottom of the screen with their subtitles. Just get over it. It doesn't hurt the film. You know me, I've never had an issue with subtitles. I know you've never had an issue with subtitles. Some people just flip their nose up at it, but then that's kind of the opposite of what people who flip their nose at do. They would love something with subtitles. So go see this movie. With the caveat that it's a weird one.
I say definitely see it. You can now stream it on your TV. So if you want to get it off Amazon or Google, that's how I watched it. You know, some people were complaining it's $15 because you have to buy it. I think it might be available now for rental. But, dude, $15 is a ticket to a movie. So why not just – it doesn't matter. It's cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
I pay for convenience.
All right.
I also say see it. Let's go on to spoilers for Parasite.
Spoilers for Parasite. Where to begin? So this movie, we said it's about a whole lot of things. And I guess the reason we meet let's call them the mole people, right? The reason we meet him is to what? Is to illustrate to us that there's always someone worse off.
What?
That's what I'm asking you. Is that because we see these people are looking at the parks as the haves and have nots, right? Look at this amazing place. Look at this place that they're living. They have everything. But then they meet this man and this woman who are hiding from, loan sharks down in a panic room, living off almost nothing. Is that to show them that we have it better than these people?
I guess so, but I also just think that it's not to show anyway. It's just to show that there's different levels of destitute and sadness and darkness and fucked upness. And I just think it's a great twist, because to believe that they were actually parasites, they found another parasite that was somehow even more of a parasite.
That's
literally
what I mean.
Living.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, so as much as this movie portrays the Parks as villains as well, the main family that we're following, they too, do they get too greedy?
Well, first off, the Parks shouldn't be, they're not villains. Why would you think they're villains?
Not villains.
Are they bad people? You're saying they're
No, I'm not saying they're bad people, but they are portrayed as that at least twice, because he talks about the stench and they talk about the stench of subway people and how they're disgusting.
Okay, so they do have a greater than thou.
Right. Holier than thou.
Feeling about
them in a way.
But also, to be fair, if the guy smells like shit, do you want someone who's working for you to be smelling like shit when they're working for you?
No, I understand that. Right. But they're, to our main family we're following, that makes them bad people in their mind, to the point where he's going to murder him.
Disrespectful. They just feel disrespected.
Right. And he kills him because of – he pinches his nose as he turns over the man who killed the other guy's daughter.
Yeah.
You know, so, that's the final straw for him. So that's the crux of why this man wanted to kill Park. When he was hiding under the table, you know, hearing him say this stuff about him. And so, but at the same time, this family we're following, you know, Caitlin said, she's like, were they too greedy? They already had two people making a good salary living in, working in this house. But then they decided, no, we're going to kick out the housekeeper. We're going to kick out the driver, who were good people from what we could tell.
Of course, the antagonists are also the protagonists.
And yeah, which is great.
Right. They're, you're following really the, you know, the bad guys for the most part of this movie. You're rooting for people that, you know, although are unfortunate in their, you know, everything what they do is okay up until probably they start getting the driver and the
housekeeper
yeah. fired. Right.
Right.
Otherwise, they're just making a living. They're actually doing their jobs well. They, you know, did a little bit of fraud to get to that point, but I'm okay with that. I don't, you know, it's hustle. It's the hustle. But, right. You know, when they start making other people, I guess, look either bad at
their jobs. They start taking away other people's livelihood.
Right, that's when they become the villain. And so, you know, you go from rooting for them for a while and to being like, I really, you know, you have such a dynamic relationship with these characters as you follow this movie. And you still find yourself somehow, even though they're not great people, rooting for them to succeed. And then when you're, introduced to the mole man, I don't know what you want to call him, just a creepy loan shark hiding guy.
Yeah.
Which was so creepy, just like all time creepy. Just knowing someone living in your house for like 3 years is a nightmare for anyone. It's just an absolute nightmare having a stranger live in your house. That's so creepy.
Yeah.
You find yourself rooting for them again against this family, even though they really didn't do anything wrong, right? They were the ones who were wrong. Like the housekeeper was wrong. She just wants to take care of her husband.
Right, but she was also lying to the family she worked for.
Right, because she's a fucking creepy mooch parasite as well. They're all parasites.
Yeah.
But I still found myself not rooting for her and the husband. I found myself rooting for the family.
Sort of, right?
Right, even though they're all pieces of shit at the end.
I mean, the whole turning point of the film comes at the camping trip, right? That's when the film really takes a turn, and I can't emphasize turn enough. When she shows up with like her face is all beaten up because God knows the loan sharks probably kicked her ass, and she shows up at the door and is like, "Hi, I used to work here." That's when I was like, "Is this going to turn horrifying?"
It's the rain's going. It had such a horror movie vibe, and the way that he shot a lot of the shots. With that door, the doorway was so
the pantry or down to the
because you just saw their eyes and the smile. He just shot it so well and so creepy.
And then, I mean, but then also, like when she kicks the housekeeper down the stairs, she doesn't die there, right? Because he checks her breathing under her nose and he says, "Oh, thank God, she's alive." How does she die again?
She basically just dies later. I'm pretty sure.
Because she never got help.
She never got help. Like, you're going to die eventually.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's so dark. It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just really do feel bad for the Parks, because at the end of the day, the dad gets murdered for pretty much no reason. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's a pretty...
And the son gets stabbed in the head, doesn't he?
And the son... He lives, but he's
do we know?
Up.
No. The Park's son. We don't know if he makes it, right?
Oh, he has like a seizure.
No. He got stabbed in the head, I thought, through the daughter.
No, he didn't. I think he just got a seizure.
Oh, for some reason I thought that the daughter got stabbed and then she collapsed and the knife had gone through and like hit him in the head as well. No.
Okay,
never mind. So there's two because people he had
died.
A seizure.
There's only two people that died. The daughter
and Park.
And Park.
Well, no, and the Mr. and the mole man.
And obviously the mole man, who was just batshit insane at that point. It was going on a rampage.
Yeah. Jesus. And then I mean, I don't know how the son didn't die.
Yeah, he bashed his head in with that rock.
You see it.
It's quite perturbing.
Yes, it is. And so what is the meaning of the rock?
I think it was luck, right? It was to bring the family luck and success and wealth. And the rock obviously worked. But I think to some degree, it's one of those things in like any story where there's a lesson to be learned, where it's like, yes, this can give you what you want, but at a price. Right.
And don't get greedy.
But these people, they got greedy. They were given the opportunity to have some success, some wealth, but they kept taking and taking. And just like in any, I'm trying to say, it's like an Aesop's, I would say any like fable almost. It is the inherent flaws of the people who are the main characters that brings them down, right? That's their downfall. It's their greed and their desire for more and more. They couldn't be content, and it ends up ruining everything for them, including their family. So, and I guess the symbolism was, you know, you have the rock that brought them wealth, ended up, he used it as a weapon, and it became a literal and figurative aspect of the destruction of the family.
And then we can't ignore the flooding that happened.
Yeah, the flooding was,
that gets you back on their side. It's devastating to them. You see the life that they're living in. At one point, she's just sitting on the toilet that's spewing sewage.
And there's just shit everywhere.
Yeah.
It's disturbing. It's disgusting. It's very sad. It's, you know, they were going from this house that had everything, and now they're
and it just kept going down. The visual metaphor of them going down and down and down.
Exactly. Just further and further down. And this house is on a mountain. It's on a hill, which is very apropos to, you know, to Korea. It's a lot of mountains, a lot of hills. So it's, you know. But yeah, the levels are obviously symbolic. As well. I thought the ending was poetic, where he now becomes the permanent resident of the house that they built. And yet there is this sad optimism in the end, right? Where he's convinced that the son's convinced that he's going to make enough money to get that, to own that house one day and set his father free. But as we all know, that will never happen. You know, there is this tragic beauty.
You don't think so?
Oh, absolutely not. I think you're supposed to understand that it's never going to happen. It will not happen.
I disagree with that. I think it's up for your interpretation.
No, I think it's meant to be known like this is the real world, right? This is the real world. There are repercussions and bad things happen and not everyone gets what they want, right? That's what we saw. This isn't a fantasy story where only good things happen. In real life, you can have that dream, but it's never going to happen. He's working at like a pizza place at the end again.
Yeah, but he's working towards his degree.
Sure. But as we all know in real life, it's very unlikely. And I think you're expected to just know that this man's fate is sealed in that house, and he'll constantly be reminded of the poor decisions that he made that led him there. Yeah. And it's pretty dark, it's pretty disturbing, but it's pretty cool at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm kind of done.
I'm done too. Justin, why don't you take us out?
All right, guys, thanks for listening to this episode. As always, questions, comments, concerns, please feel free to email us at twoguysonemovie.podcast@gmail.com. Check out the site, comment all you'd like. You can listen to us on our website. You can listen to us on iTunes, any Android or any telephone podcasting app. My favorite way, however, to listen to us is on Spotify. If you do listen to us on those apps, please download, subscribe, give us a review, 5 stars.
5 stars.
That's right, 5 stars. For Matt and Justin, thanks for listening. Until next time, have a good one.
Bye.